Genesis chapter 1. I want to look at the topic of entrusted with truth. And we'll start in Genesis chapter 1. Very simple verses in Genesis, simple verses everywhere really, but Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1. First verse in the Bible, might as well start there today. If I ever get to it. You'd think that'd be the easiest verse to find. It's all this other stuff in front. Yeah, there you go. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. God spoke his word, and it came to pass. It was so. God's word is so certain that when it gets spoken, and he spoke in this case, it comes to pass. God said, "Let there be light," and guess what happened? The light had to appear. In verse 9, let's keep reading. "And God said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together unto one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so." God's word came to pass. Verse 10. "And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters called he seas, and God saw that it was good." Verse 11. "And God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself, upon the earth, and it was so." And if you keep on reading, verse 15, "let the lights in the firmament of the heavens," and it was so, and it was so. God spoke, God's word spoken brought results. It came to pass. That's the certainty of God's word. It is the word of God, the one who made the heavens and the earth. That's what we hold here in our hands. In Isaiah 55, I read this verse last week, or whenever we were together, and we'll read it again. Isaiah 55. It says in verse 10, "For as the rain cometh down," like today, "and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and then maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it." It's exactly like Genesis, "and it was so." Here it says, "so shall my word be." The word of God comes to pass. That is a certainty that is behind all the words of God. Last time we looked at getting that word, whether it's from the word of God or hearing directly from God. But once you have that word, it will come to pass. It has to come to pass. Look at Psalm 119. Just back a couple of books. Psalm 119. Wonderful verse here. And in verse 89, it says, "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven." That's it. The word is settled. The word will come to pass. It is certain. It is steadfast. It is sure. "Forever thy word is settled in heaven." You never need to be concerned about taking a stand on the words of God. It will yield what God wants it to yield. It will stand. It will come to pass. That's what the word of God says. That's what we have. And it's a certainty. God himself says his word is settled in heaven. Other places, you know, he's magnified his word above his name. I'm sure you can think of hundreds of verses that talk about how wonderful and certain and steadfast God's word is. In Nehemiah chapter 8. Let's get to Nehemiah. Where am I going? We're going to read I can find that today. I can't find my books, my Bible today. Nehemiah. This is after they had built the temple and the walls and repaired it. And they got together. And the reason I wanted to share those verses, first of all, is just to take a quick look at how sure, steadfast, and certain God's word is, and how it comes to pass. When you have it, it's going to come to pass. And then the thing that I was wanted to look at today was how we have been entrusted with that truth, the word, the words of God. God has entrusted the words of God to His people, and when His people take heed to that word of God, or make it known, or go to it, the results are always there. Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 1, and all the people gathered themselves together as one man, and into the street that was before the water gate. And they spake unto Ezra, the scribe, to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded to Israel. And Ezra the priest brought the law before that before the congregation, both of men and women, and all that could hear with understanding, upon the first day of the seventh month. And he read therein. So they hadn't read this for a while. You'll see that in the Word and in your own life, if you stay away from the Word of God for any extended period of time, your life won't be as blessed. You know, you'll tend to be not as thankful, not as confident with God, and all the things that are associated with it. You know, just as your own child might stray from the words you tell them, generally it doesn't lead to blessing for them if they disobey it. You know, if you've been good, like we're talking about a father, at least, you know, tries his best or take care of his children. You don't follow those words, eventually things go badly. Same with the Word of God. Here, the people have been away from it for a while. And so he brought this back and said, look, here's what we found. And the people listened. And he read verse 3, therein before the street that was before the water gate from the morning until midday. Let's make it, you know, let's assume morning is 9 a.m., which in the Bible was earlier than that, but 9 a.m. and they read till 9. They read that for at least three hours they read. Imagine if we just sat here right now for 3 hours, read God's Word together. Most people would fall asleep. Most people say, I got other things to do. I got to go. I'm not criticizing you guys, but I'm saying in life, right? That doesn't happen. People don't get together and read God's Word for 3 or 4 hours at a time. It just doesn't happen. Yet here they did. It had been a while. Before the men and the women, and those that could understand, and the ears of all the people were attentive unto the book of the law. They listened. And Ezra the scribe stood upon a pulpit of wood, which they had made for the purpose, and beside him stood all these wonderful men. Verse 5, and Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was above all the people, and when he opened it, all the people stood up. They had respect for what Ezra was about to say. And in the Old Testament, when they read the Word of God, they stood. Here was God's Word, and they all stood up in respect for it. Today, what do people do when you're God? That's just garbage. Junk. Who wants to hear that crap? A little different. Verse 6, Ezra blessed the people, the Lord, the great God, and all the people answered, Amen, Amen, with lifting up their hands, and they bowed their heads and worshipped the Lord with their faces to the ground. Look at the reverence. Also, Jeshua and Bani and all these guys caused the people to understand, says in the latter part of the verse, understand the law, and the people stood in their place. So they read in the book of the law of God distinctly and gave the sense. So they read the Word of God, they helped them to understand what was being said and caused them to understand the reading. That's what you do. You have God's Word. You know, I don't know how much each of us knows differently how much we know of God's Word, but we all know God's Word. It is incumbent upon us, important for us to take what we know and help people to understand that word. We've been entrusted with the truth of God and His Word. A word that brings things to pass. A word which God said, and it was so. It never comes back to Him void. And you know that word. You know, whatever level you know it to, you know something of God's Word. Why wouldn't I take it seriously then to say, well, how much do I know? Like, I really would like to tell somebody about this word. You can spend time in so many pursuits in life, day by day. How about that one? It doesn't have to be 3 or 4 hours. Could be. How about 5 minutes? You know, you see somebody and then you know they need to know God's word. And you know it. You might think, well, I don't know enough. I think you know enough. If you don't know enough, learn some more. Verse 9. And then Nehemiah, which is the Tishatha, and Ezra the priest, the scribe, and the Levites that taught the people, said unto the people, this day is holy unto the Lord your God. Mourn not, nor weep. He told them, don't cry. For all the people wept when they heard the words of the law. They cried. The word of God was spoken, and the people started crying. Why? You think it might have hit a chord? You think it might have gotten to them and said, oh my goodness, I should take heed to this. Do we have that reverence for the word that's been entrusted to us? Do we look at it that way? Do we consider it to be something that, you know, you ought to cry if it hits you that way? I've cried. Have you ever cried reading God's word? I have. I know. You go, oh my God, I wouldn't understand that. Or when someone says something to you in a certain way, you go, wow, that's wonderful. Because it hits you. It's God. God is the one who authored it. He knows you and me. He understands what gets to you. He understands what gets to his people. That's what his word is. It's not just a bunch of writings and things written down through passed through time by word of mouth and all that junk people say. It's God's word, and you have been entrusted with it. You've been given that word. We ought to treat it with the respect that it deserves in our lives and the lives we minister to, and we let no one take a crack at God's word. Nobody. Someone says something, you say, you shut up. Thus saith the word of God. That's the word of God. Don't you say that about the word. Why not? It's his word. Why wouldn't we? These people cried. Verse 10. And then he said unto them, go your way, eat the fat and drink the sweet, and send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy unto the Lord. Neither be ye sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. You think that little 3, 4 hour, 5 hour, whatever it was, had an impact on those people? Man, they were crying and they were joyful and were blessed. No, what was it? He just read to them. Just words. That's all it was. He just read them words. What happened? They were crying. They were joyful. They got excited. They got blessed. Just words. Just little words in a black and white page. You know, whatever they were. Brown or... John chapter 17. You can think of all kinds of verses in the Old Testament. You know, Jeremiah, thy words were found. I did eat them and they were unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. Remember that one? You know, all these wonderful verses. Where he wanted to, you remember that verse? He wanted to stop talking about it. And he said, I can't. He said, it's in my heart. It's just like a fire. He couldn't stop talking about it. You've been entrusted. You have been, every time you hear the truth of God's word, I don't care how little or big or whatever it is, you have a responsibility. You've been entrusted with it. Once you know God's word, you can no longer say, I don't know. That's not possible anymore. Can't plead ignorance. John 17, Jesus Christ here speaking, verse 1. These words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, this is near the end of Jesus' life when he's about to die. And the hour has come, glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. In verse 4, I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. God gave him work to do, and here Jesus Christ said, I have finished that work. Verse 6. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me. Wow, he said, I finished the work I came to do. Well, God gave him words, and he gave the words to the people. Words, the word of God. He gave them God's word. Jesus Christ was entrusted with the word, just like Nehemiah, Ezra, Jeremiah, Isaiah, all these great men in the Old Testament. They were entrusted with God's word, and when they gave out God's word, you know, read about Isaiah, read about Jeremiah. You think they brought results that they really loved sometimes? No way. Some of those guys, man, they had the worst life going sometimes, just because they were bold enough to speak what God had entrusted them with. And here Jesus Christ What happened to him when he gave the words out? They killed him. But he was faithful to give out the words that God had gave him. Verse 6, which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. Verse 14. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them. You know, don't be surprised if when you speak God's word, maybe you're at school and you tell somebody, hey, you know Jesus Christ died for you? You know, I'm talking to the kid, you know Jesus Christ died for you? He died so you could have eternal life? And they say, oh, go to hell. Don't be surprised if you get that kind of response. You're in good company. They hated Jesus Christ. They killed him. They threw Jeremiah in a bunch of dung. You know, they didn't love Isaiah for what he said to them. You know, every time you read God's word is made known, you get back this tremendous, flack from the adversary. Why? Because he hates it. And he'll hate you for speaking it. So don't be afraid to hear back things like, oh, you're an idiot. You're a Bible thumper. What the heck is wrong with you? I don't care what you hear. It's the word of God. It doesn't come back void, and it does what God wants it to do. That should be enough for anybody to say to somebody, have the boldness and guts to say, look, Jesus Christ died for you. You want to know him? Do you want to have eternal life? Do you want to be with him forever, or don't you? And you should not care at least about what the response you get back. Who cares? He's still coming back. And you just gave them a chance for eternal life, which if the adversary had his way, he'd never let you do. Never. Verse 14. I have given thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, and even as I am not of the world, and neither are you of the world when you're born again of God's Spirit. Verse 17. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Verse 20. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through what? Their word. You see that? God gave him the word, he gave them the word, and he now told them, guess what you have now? You've got the word. Now you speak the word, and through your word, they're going to come on to the Lord Jesus Christ and on to God the Father. In 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. The word has to be made known. I wrote some statements down here from the book of Acts regarding the word of God. In Acts 6:7, it says, and the word of God increased. When they were out there speaking, the word of God is what increased. In Acts 12:24, but the word of God grew and multiplied. The word of God through the book of Acts. Acts 13:44, and the next Sabbath day came almost the whole city together to hear the word of God. Remember that? The whole city came. They wanted to hear the word of God. In Acts 13:49, and the word of the Lord was published throughout all the region. The word of God was made known. In Acts 19:20, so mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. It was the word of God that was made known, that people wanted, that they gave out, that people came to hear, and that was magnified. It was God's word, not people. Not us, but his word is magnified. This is what brings people to the Lord and to God. Not mine and your personality. It's the word. So it doesn't matter what your personality, it doesn't matter what... See, it's got nothing to do with you. It's got everything to do with God and his word. Well, the part it has to do with you is you got to speak it. Right? We got to speak it. And that's very, very important. You know, if you read the book of Acts, if you haven't read it, read it, and you see how many times they tried to stop them. How many times? Every time they spoke the word, there was constantly problems. You always think about how important what you're doing in life is. Well, one way to look at it is, how important is it to the devil for you not to do it? Pretty important from what we read in God's word, because every time they did something, boy, right back at them. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life, which is in Christ Jesus. To Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve for my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. I remember again, God always remembers, 2 Timothy was written at a time when the church was having some problems. It was the church in its downfall. 1 Timothy is the church in its rise. 2 Timothy is in the church in its downfall. Hard times. So you got to think of the context of what Paul's words are here to Timothy. What is he telling his beloved, you know, son, so to speak? That's what he called him, my beloved son. What is he telling him at a time when things were not going well for the church? Verse 5, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith or believing that is, or genuine believing that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Excuse me. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. He tells Timothy, look, I know times are tough, but don't you ever be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. Don't you ever get ashamed. No matter what comes back at you, don't you be ashamed. Nor of me, his prisoner. Literally a prisoner in jail. Now, Timothy, don't be ashamed. You know, when you're speaking the word, don't be ashamed of me. I know I'm in jail, but for a good reason. But he'd be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel. And he tells him, look, no matter what happens, just keep on sticking in the gospel according to the power of God, who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, that according, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. That's the important thing, the word of God. Whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Why? Because he was a teacher, he suffered these things. He told you, the world will hate you for it. So be ready for it. Be ready for the world to hate you for speaking his word. For the which cause I suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that, or that which he has committed unto me, is the text, which he has committed unto me against that day. Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me, in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. That good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Spirit which dwelleth in us. This thou knowest, that all they in Asia, I told you it's hard times, all they in Asia be turned away from me. They were all gone. All the people, you know, you read the book of Acts, how many places Paul had witnessed and taught God's word, and how many people had turned to the Lord, how many had, and what does he say here? All they in Asia turned to Asia Minor, had turned away from him. You might think, well, Paul sure was a failure, wasn't he? What a waste of time. And why didn't he do something else, like, you know, make saddles for the rest of his... Well, what's God's record of the man? Well, we will see it here. Of whom are Phygellus and Hermogenes. The Lord give mercy unto the house of Nicephorus, for he oft refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chain. But when he was in Rome, he sought me out very diligently and found me. This guy took the time to go see the Paul, even though he was in jail. He wasn't ashamed. He came and blessed him, took care of him. So, you know, guess what? Nicephorus is mentioned in God's word as a wonderful believer. That's God's record. So this guy went and took care of Paul. He wasn't ashamed. He knew that Paul had been entrusted with the gospel, and you have been entrusted with the gospel, just like the believers in the Old Testament, in the Bible. Right? We've all been entrusted. Nothing to be ashamed of. Verse 18, Lord grant unto him that he may find mercy of the Lord in that day, and in how many things he ministered unto me at Ephesus. You know very well. You know, Timothy, how much he took care of me. Thou therefore, my son, there it is, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to a faithful man who shall be able to teach others also. There it is again. Jesus Christ was entrusted, the old people of the Old Testament entrusted. Jesus Christ told them, I've given them the word. He goes, now you give them the word and you watch. A lot of people are going to come to the word through you. And now here's Paul writing Timothy, I've given you the word. Don't be ashamed of it. You speak the word. At the same time also, go out there and tell people who are also going to be faithful to speak the word. How about you? How about the kids? How about us? How about all you people of God, all of us who have heard God's word? Are we going to be faithful to speak the word, just like God encourages these men in the Bible to do. Let's close in 2 Timothy 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. What's word? Literally one page over. I'm not sure why I'm turning so many pages. Verse 1, this thou knowest, this know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. Verse 10, but thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured. Why? Why did he endure all those persecutions, all those places? What was he doing? Just speaking the word. Just making known the gospel of Jesus Christ. And everywhere he went, afflictions. But look at the next verse. What does it say? Out of them all, the Lord delivered me. You think maybe God's record on Paul's life was a good one? You think maybe Paul was doing what God wanted him to do? He said, no matter what afflictions came at me, he delivered me all out of all of them. So if you feel like you've been entrusted with the gospel, and you know, or sometimes we're a bit afraid or cautious or worried or ashamed or whatever the word is, you think the Lord won't deliver you or us no matter what comes at us? Verse 12, yea, all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. I told you, don't be afraid. The world hates you. Expect it. That's what the word says here. If you live godly in Christ Jesus, you will suffer persecution. It may come at you in different ways and different angles and didn't expect it, or you go, well, it's not fair. You're right. It's not fair. Life is not fair. God is fair. Life is not fair at all. Verse 13, but evil men shall, you know, all this junk is going to get worse and worse, deceiving. Verse 14, but continue thou, despite all these things, all the deception, all the evil, all the things that happen in the world, and it hasn't gotten better since Paul wrote this out there. It's not any better. What did he tell Timothy to do, despite all that? Verse 14, but you, Timothy, you continue thou in the things which thou hast learned, and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. And that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. If you ever think, you know, how many times, how many different ways can God possibly say it in his word that it is vital for each of us to know the Scriptures, to know God's word, to know it, to memorize the verses, to think about them, so you have something to go to in your mind when you need that. He told Timothy, you know, from a child you've known the Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through believing which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, for instruction in righteousness. Why? That you may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. The only thing that ever equips you in life to handle anything that comes at you is what? God's word. Because it says in Genesis, when God spoke, his word comes to pass. It says his word is settled in heaven. It comes to pass. He backs up his word with all that he is. You tell your son something, you know, son, I want you, or daughter, I want you to do this, and you know, if you do this, I'm going to stand behind you. And when they do it, and you say, well, I changed my mind. You don't do that to your son or daughter. When God says, this is my word, this is true, you stand that word, he backs it up. In verse 1, 4, chapter 4, I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Be instant, in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. How many cases of that do you see in life where you sit there and go, what? People actually believe that, or people actually support that? That's not sound. But after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, always wanting to hear some new thing, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. Evolution is an example of a wonderful fable the whole world believes. They're turned onto it. Fables. But watch thou in all things. You go, despite all that junk, endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. Make full proof of thy ministry. For I am now ready to be offered. He was dying. And the time of my departure at his hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith, what Paul said. I have kept the right way of believing. That was God's mark on his life. He had done what God had called him to do, even though at the end of his life, all they in Asia had turned away from him. Verse 8, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. I see. Despite what people thought, despite what the others did, what was God's record on his life? You see, God has entrusted his people with his word. God spoke his word. He established it, and it's settled. Men throughout the ages have taken a stand for and spoken his word. Jesus Christ was entrusted with his word, and he said, I have given them thy word. Paul was entrusted with it and said he had kept the right way of believing that word. And he encouraged Timothy to likewise do the same. How about us? We've been entrusted with the gospel of Jesus Christ. What are we going to do with it?